from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello once again and welcome to the program. Today, the Reverend Ian Brown is letting the Bible speak from Matthew 27 and verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. That message after we hear these words in song.
Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of His love did all my darkness flee. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of His love within. Soon I shall see Him as He is, the light that came to me. Behold the brightness of His face throughout eternity. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of His love living.
We're all well aware of what a substitute is. It may be that person who comes onto the pitch at some stage in a football match to replace a player who's either injured or just not doing the business. It may be that item a shop assistant hands to you when you return some item that has proved faulty. At any rate, we are familiar with the concept of a substitute. This morning my message is going to be about the substitute and why we absolutely need one in the spiritual realm. Good morning. I'm Ian Brown, and before we get to the message, let's read one verse from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Back in the darkest corner of the cell, Barabbas could picture the events of the next day vividly. In the morning, he'd hear the footfall of the death warden as he'd come along the corridor. The great key would clank in the lock, the bolt would fly back, the heavy door would slowly swing open. Then he'd be called out, dragged to the fatal spot and nailed to a cross. For hours he'd suffer the most excruciating agony that Roman cruelty could devise, exposed to the gaze of an incensed crowd and the unsympathetic rays of a Middle Eastern sun, paying on Calvary the penalty for his sinful deeds. In the morning, Barabbas did hear the steps of the jailer coming along the corridor. The key was placed in the lock, the bolt did fly back, and in a moment that great door stood open. Barabbas, I've some good news for you, the warden said, and it's a voice that was upbeat and was strong. What good news? Spat Barabbas in his usual bitter tone. All I know is that this is the day for my execution, that you're coming to drag me out of it. Ah, but you don't know, continued the warden. Listen, Barabbas, somebody is dying for you. Somebody's dying for me? What do you mean? Come and I'll show you, Barabbas. Reluctantly, Barabbas goes. He suspects it's all a cruel joke, but he's going to be executed that day anyway, so what's he got to lose? Through the door, along the corridor, past numerous cells, out into the street, beyond the walls of Jerusalem, they made their way. Finally, they stopped. Do you see yonder cross? The jailer inquired, pointing Barabbas to a hill some distance away. The condemned man looked. It was a few moments before he could take in the scene before him. His eyes were by now so unaccustomed to the light of day. At last he saw it and spoke, yes, I see it. Three crosses? But do you see the centre one? Yes. Well, Barabbas, that centre cross is yours. It was made for you. You were to have hung from it. You were to have died upon it this morning. Slowly the clouded mind of Barabbas began to clear. Then, he spluttered, then that man hanging on it now is dying in my place? Yes, Barabbas, he's dying for you. Didn't I tell you that somebody was dying for you? Barabbas stared, his throat bulged. Hard and criminal though he was, he began to cry, "For me, dying for me, taking my place. I can't understand it. I don't know why he did it, but he is doing it, and I can't help but believe it. Jesus is really and truly dying for me." Not only for Barabbas either, for that cross was as truly yours and mine as it was his. Not merely in the place of Barabbas, you see, did Jesus die that day. He died in our place. He died bearing our sins. He died enduring the wrath of God that was our due. Substitution. That's our subject this morning. I want to ask three questions briefly. Number one is this. A substitute. Why? Why? Why the need of one? Why do we require one to act for us? Why do we need Jesus? Simple answer is because sin must be dealt with, and we haven't the power to deal with sin. What does sin do? One of the most obvious things that sin does is to bring about a breakdown in communication, a failure in relationships between God and man. Sin separates, alienates, estranges man from his Maker. To take only one text, Isaiah 59 and verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." It's a common practice for criminals or terrorists to stealthily creep up and cut the telephone wires of their intended victim. Then when they break into the house, the chances of an alarm being raised are much reduced. Sin operates like that. It cuts the contact between man and God. It breaks the living link between them. We have sinned. How then are communications ever going to be restored between ourselves and God? How are we going to be reconciled, brought into vital contact once again? Well, the answer is that no one but Christ can bridge the gap and meet the need. And he bridges that colossal gap, and he meets our compelling need by standing in our place, by being our substitute, by pouring out his soul unto death on Calvary. The picture was painted by the Royal Corps of Signals, depicting an incident during World War I. A signaller, unarmed, lying dead in no man's land. He'd been sent out to repair a cable that had been snapped by shellfire, sent out to restore the contact that had been interrupted. The picture shows him lying dead in the fulfilment of his task, holding together in those stiffening hands of his the broken ends, holding them in contact. Beneath the picture is one word: through. That's a graphic picture of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. It was there that he repaired the breakdown in relations between God and man. To do it, he endured a terrible crucifixion. Stretching himself on that cross, his arms extended wide, he takes on the one side the hand of a holy God, and on the other side the hand of a guilty man, and he brings them both together. A mediator, but to be a mediator, a substitute for the sins that we had so ungratefully and grossly and outrageously committed. This book, the Bible, assures me that Christ Jesus has got us through. I think of 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Tremendous words, telling of a terrific truth. Jesus Christ, God's well-beloved, only begotten and eternal Son, suffered shame and reproach and buffeting and false accusation and a terrible death for me, to get me through to God. A substitute. Why? Because of my sin, a substitute was needed. A substitute. What then? What then? The fact that Jesus Christ has died as our substitute opens up the way for us to be reconciled to God. Reconciliation. As the hymn writer put it, no longer far from him, but now by precious blood made nigh. That's one of the great blessings of substitution. Christ has brought us to God. We've already been touching on that. We are reconciled to God through our substitute. Another result of substitution is the removal of wrath. The salvation that was purchased for his soul in Calvary brings the sinner a complete deliverance from the punishment of the Almighty. It's been said that salvation sends the prisoner out of court completely cleared, and it's absolutely true. This book tells me that because Jesus Christ the Lord has taken my place, borne the load of my sin for me, died for me, then the wrath of God that once hung over me like the blackest of black clouds is now removed. I love the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 12 and the verse 1, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." I love the words of John 3:18, he that believeth in him is not condemned, and of Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no hell for that man or woman or child for whom Christ has died as their substitute. A substitute, why? Because we are sinners and we need someone to stand in our place. We cannot remove sin ourselves. A substitute, what then? There's reconciliation with God. There's a removal from under the wrath of God. The final question. A substitute, when? When? I may speak with joy upon this truth of Christ's substitutionary death. I can present it before you with gladness. I can emphasize the glorious reality of this doctrine that Christ died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You mightn't disagree, you mightn't dispute, you mightn't despise the truth, but that's not enough. You can never know the personal value of having Christ as your substitute. You can never rise and say with joy, he died an atoning death for me, until you call upon his name for mercy. Until you exercise faith in his blood to cleanse and keep on cleansing you from sin. Until you lean upon his finished sacrifice and be contented with it. Imagine you're standing on the edge of a great chasm. That chasm is narrow, but it's very deep. A single plank stretches across it. Far away in the distance, racing along at top speed behind you, comes a ruthless band of cutthroats. The situation's plain. Unless you cross the plank and reach the other side, you're lost. For some time you hesitate. You're afraid to take what you think is a daring and awful risk. You examine the plank from every angle, peer down into the fearful abyss below, and as you wait and ponder, others come running from all directions from behind you, and some come quickly, others more slowly, and they cross upon the plank and they get over to the other side and they're safe. But those cutthroats are still coming. You must cross or die. What'll I do? You cry. Your mind's in a whirl. Then you begin to reason, well, the plank has certainly held others as they have crossed. I believe it'll hold me. You've come to the place where you actually believe the plank will bear your weight, but are you safe? No, you're not, for you're not across yet. You're still stalling in the danger zone. There must be one more step out onto the plank. There must be trust, and trust implies action. At last you become desperate. The enemy's close. You determine to put the plank to the test. You step on it. In a moment you're over to the other side. You too are safe. My friend, today God's great plank of salvation still spans the great gulf between earth and heaven. Millions have already crossed over on it. That plank is never broken, never needed replacing, never needed modernizing, never needed servicing. It'll hold you if you'll but venture out upon it. Venture on him. Venture wholly. Let no other trust intrude. You may be fully convinced that Jesus can save you, but until you act on that faith and definitely receive him, you'll not be saved, but still remain in your sin and under the sentence of condemnation in hell. Judgment and Satan are already on track. Hurry up. Hurry up and trust. Venture on. Lean your whole weight upon the substitute and only Saviour, Christ Jesus. May you do it today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness. And I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.